This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
And at 9:07, you're listening to WSMI AM 1540. It's the Wednesday talk show. I'm your host, Tobin Ott. This week, we are pleased to have two good guests, two great guests. Good is not a good word to describe. Great guests here this week. Mindy Melton from the Central Illinois Community Blood Center is here. And also Lisa Reiki, now the new executive director of the Central Illinois Division chapter of
Illinois Capital Region.
New executive director, Big Brothers Big Sisters. She is here as well. So grab yourself a cup of coffee, pour yourself that glass of juice. We'll be back in just a minute.
At Plummer Funeral Home, it is our mission to provide the families of this area with caring, compassionate, and professional funeral services, and to assist them as they celebrate the life of the loved one they have lost. At Plummer Funeral Home, we provide families of all faiths and cultures with respect, compassion, and comfort as they mourn for their loved ones and come to terms with their loss. Plummer Funeral Home, the locally owned hometown funeral home, your neighbor and your friend.
And we're back on the Wednesday talk show. Tobin Ott here. Our guest this week, Mindy Melton from the Central Illinois Community Blood Center. We also have Lisa Reiki from Big Brothers Big Sisters here as well. Mindy, let's start with you. First off, congratulations. It's your first time back since expanding the family. So congratulations. How's the baby doing?
He's doing great. He's growing like a weed and doing really good. He's a very easy baby.
I became a nephew about 4 weeks ago.
You became a nephew?
Or uncle.
Uncle.
Thank you. And my brother, who normally doesn't drink coffee, called me out of the blue and says, well, guess what I just bought? I said, I don't know. What did you buy? A Keurig. I said,
yeah.
Keurig? Why? He said, well, Miles has got me up every 3 hours and that, and I need the caffeine. So I bought a Keurig. So he is now a coffee drinker.
Yeah.
Didn't see it coming. But
I will say this being number two in our family, the second baby, he sleeps a little bit better, or I've just grown accustomed to being woken up. So one of the two. True. I'm more rested than I was the first time.
There you go. Let's talk a little bit about the blood center. How's everything going?
It's going good. I came back to work, and we have a brand new office that we built on South 6th Street there.
Nice surprise.
Yeah. All my stuff was moved, and I knew it was coming, so I took leave right before the office was going to be finished, so new office.
So someone else could move your stuff?
I packed it up for them before I left. Oh, okay. But yeah, it's exciting to have a new office there. We don't collect blood in that office, but we do all of our administration and the different things, the different jobs. We have a new reference lab and things there. So it's housing additional room for additional employees.
I know you got a couple of blood drives coming up.
Tell us
a little bit.
We do. Today we are at Carlinville Elks Lodge, and that will be Shargenta's last blood drive. So anybody who can come out and help us out, she'd really like to hit 100 before she hands over the reins. The blood drive, she's helped us for several years, and she does a great job. And we are there today from noon until 6 p.m. at the Carlinville Elks. And then next Wednesday, we're going to be in Hillsboro, right down the road here. And that drive is from 12 to 6 as well, and we will be at the Moose Lodge.
Okay. And blood donations so far, is it up, down?
Since I've came back from maternity leave, looking over the numbers, this has been a really rough month. August has been just horrendous. And I'm really not sure why the numbers have been down so much, other than right when I came back to work was also get kids ready to go back to school and take your last minute vacation before you have to go back to school. And, you know, the weather's been kind of icky and hot. And that,
you mentioned the kids going back to school. That's got to help, because I know, like, Hillsboro High School and I think maybe Litchfield, correct me if I'm wrong here.
No, Litchfield has drives with us.
Has blood drives from time to time. So that adds an additional couple dates to your calendar, right?
Absolutely. High school and college season, when they come back in session, really does help us. However, not very many schools have drives in August. We have a few that are helping us out in the month of August. Most of them wait until late September, mid-October, November. So that's when we see an increase in blood you know, supply, because they're just getting back to school. They're just getting their schedules. It's still hot. So those that are large enough that want to use a gym, the gyms are a little warm. So we have to bring blood mobiles. And there's a lot of football going on. Football's really big around here. I don't know why.
I don't know what you're talking about. Football. What is this?
So football, with football, you know, football teams are big. So it takes about half the school in some of these smaller schools. Mm-hmm. So we are seeing a decline in donations. So any parents or anyone who can get out there and help donate, they can still credit their school in the high school challenge.
And, of course, the winter months, that's a crucial time because God only knows what Mother Nature is going to bring us.
Yeah.
I have been told it's going to be less hasty than last year, but it wouldn't take much to be
it has to be less than last year. Last year was a really rough few months. I know myself alone, I had several canceled blood drives because of the weather. So I'm hoping and praying we don't have that this year because it does put a damper on the blood supply. It makes it really hard to collect blood when our blood mobiles can't get to a location. Or what we found out last year was the places we were going were shut down. So even if we could get staff there and get to the location, school was out of session or, you know, the business was closed for the day. There was a lot of that.
So we've got a blood drive today in Carlinville at the Elks Lodge. And then if you miss that one, you can come back next week, next Wednesday, at the Moose in Hillsboro and have a blood drive there. So there's
they can always check our website, and that's cicbc.org. And they can type in a zip code and find out when we're going to be in the area, because we do have drives in Litchfield and other drives in the area that they can donate at.
Mindy, it's always a pleasure. Thank you so much for stopping by. And congratulations on the new edition.
Thanks again.
All right. Now let's move right along here. Lisa Reiki, welcome back.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Let's see. Since the last conversation, you were over Montgomery and Macoupin and Christian, and that wasn't enough. So now you are now the executive director for Big Brothers Big Sisters. I guess question number one for you, how did this come about?
Well, our previous executive director, Chris Hembro, went on to the Chamber of Commerce for Springfield. And he's going to do a fabulous job there. Of course, we miss him a lot. And when the opening came about, they asked anyone in staff if they would be interested in the position. And I kind of thought about it. I was the only one that was somewhat interested and thought about it and talked it over with family and decided to go for it. And like everyone else, I had to go through the interview process and the waiting game and the nerves and more interviews, and came down to I was the one appointed. So
once they get you on that third interview, you know they're kind of interested.
Yes,
the second one's pretty much okay. I'm in the game. Third one is all right. We may have a match here.
Right. When I went before the board and did the interview, it was a little nerve-wracking because I felt like I was really in the hot seat, and it was between me and one other person at that point, and I knew it was between, you know, just two people. I didn't know who the other person was, but it all worked out, and that's very happy to be in this position and going to do my best.
Tell us a little bit about the new position, and obviously your role is going to be expanded tenfold. Tell us a little bit about this position, and now what will you be doing for Big Brothers, Big Sisters?
Well, of course, now I'm going to be, as you said, my role is definitely expanded, and I'm in the process right now of trying to find someone to fill my shoes from my previous position. And so there's going to be a little bit of restructuring within the organization. I'll be hiring a professional fund development person here very soon. I'm hoping to get that out within the next week and start that process. We've moved a few people internally around, but I have such a great staff right now that a lot of them are cross-trained to be able to do several different positions. And it's just going to work out really well because I know the staff already. Mm-hmm. And we work together as a team really well. Communication is really good. So I don't see it's of course been a little bit of a transition for all of us. It's still strange. I still walk into my old office and I'm not the wrong office. But
that happens.
Yeah, it does. I have the bigger office now, and it's strange. But I think it's definitely been a smooth transition for all of us. Just, you know, I'm the one they have to answer to now, and I'm the one that signs all the checks. But not a whole lot's going to change as far as what we do in the community. We're still there to serve as many children as we can with quality mentoring relationships, and that's not going to change.
And of course, you mentioned about now you're looking at someone to fill your position or your former position. That's not going to be an easy task, because I remember when we first started our relationship here on the radio talking about Big Brothers Big Sisters, it was just Montgomery County.
Right.
And now all of a sudden Macoupin crept in, Christian crept in. I mean, you've got, it's now multi-county, and it's a pretty big deal now.
It is, and luckily I have, over the last few years, I've trained some part-time staff to do, you know, what needs to be done in the counties like Macoupin, Montgomery, and Christian County in our smaller communities, and they are wonderful. They know the communities. They know the kids. So it's not going to be hard for them to step in or step up, as I should say. I've talked to all of them and kind of told them, you know, I'm going to need you to step up and do a little bit more, which is good for them. It's going to give them more hours, that type of thing. So it's going to be different, but, you know, we're still going to be a small staff. That's all we can do. We're not, when I first started, we had 15 employees, and now we're down to 9. So,
wow.
So we're smaller, but our case numbers are smaller too. We're seeing more quality matches, and our retention rates are better, but we're not seeing the volunteers come through that we did several years ago.
And that's got to be hard to get the volunteers. I mean, are we talking about adult volunteers, or are we talking about the high school kids volunteering?
Well, it's a little bit of both, but more so the adult volunteers.
Mm-hmm.
I think when the economy kind of went down a few years back, that really affected us, not only in our fundraising, but it also affected us in volunteerism, because a lot of people are working two jobs, or they're working and going to school now because they've had to, you know, they lost a job and now they have to, you know, start all over again. So we're seeing the effects of that, definitely. People just aren't volunteering like they used to. So
it's like everything. Everyone's busy.
Right.
I mean, you mentioned that people are working, but the cost of goods that you have to buy to eat and do whatever is going up. Salaries may not be going up. I mean, and that's a double-edged sword right there. And that,
right,
it makes it a lot tougher. I mean, it makes it tough.
Well, there's a lot of people getting second jobs. You know, they may already have a career, but they're needing a few extra hours because, like you said, everything is going up, but their salaries aren't. So, or we have people in the smaller communities like here that maybe have to work in St. Louis or have to work in Springfield.
Mm-hmm.
So they, by the time they get home at night, they just don't have the time to, you know, they have their own family to take care of. So we have seen, you know, our numbers have gotten smaller, but the good thing with that is, you know, our matches are quality. We have great caseworkers. So, and hopefully as things turn around, I'm hoping, praying that the economy turns around eventually and our numbers will go back up. So
the process for being a match, is it still as tough as ever? I mean, it wasn't tough. I mean, obviously you have to go through the background checks and all that stuff, but has it gotten better over?
Well, the process is definitely necessary. I mean,
right,
the children's safety is our utmost concern, because these people are strangers. You know, mm-hmm, volunteers, when they come into our program, have to go through the process, what we call our enrollment process. In that process, they fill out an application. They come in and they do an interview with us. And the interview takes about 45 minutes to an hour, where we're trying to find out their background, their, you know, family life, their morals and values, and their interests, because we don't match the children on a first-come, first-served basis. We
right,
match them based on interests. So I'm not going to match someone who's really into sports with a child that's real quiet and is really into to art and things like that.
Right.
So just because we have several, you know, volunteers doesn't mean that they're going to match with a particular child. So it does sometimes take several months. We've had volunteers that have waited a long time for a little, and the same vice versa, littles that have been on our waiting list for a long time as well. It depends on, we never know who's going to come in the door.
Right.
But we also do background checks. The background checks are crucial.
Mm-hmm.
We do 4 background checks on each volunteer. DCFS background checks. We do local with the Sheriff's Department, and then we also do the federal one. So it takes a while, and references.
And of course, you look at the game now with the kids, and with especially with a little being matched with a positive influence, that helps them out a long way in the game. I read the paper, the Associated Press. You hear about bullying all the time, and I think that's just a matter of the kids got to have the right influence somewhere, some way, to mold and send that child in the right direction. And that's got to help. The right person guiding that child along helps out a long way, doesn't it?
Right. I mean, and some of the kids in our program, of course, are come from all different backgrounds. They may have both parents at home and have great family, but maybe they're being bullied at school possibly. And sometimes it's just a matter of having that extra person in our life to encourage them, to give them that confidence. And it might just be someone else for them to talk to. Maybe mm-hmm. they're embarrassed to talk to, a family member or something. Maybe it's just that other person can say, you know what, this happened to me when I was younger. Mm-hmm. It does get better. Things are going to be okay. Or help them to find another person as a resource to talk to. So
is that part of the game now, especially with high school matches, when you have a little match with a high school kid, that you watch the bullying aspect? Now, I'm not saying that. Obviously it happens because it's prevalent now, but just to make sure that it doesn't happen, and then if, let's say, your high school match is accused of bullying or something like that, and it comes out that it's true, action can be taken.
Definitely. Well, I can honestly say we've never had a problem with that.
Okay.
I mean,
we know
that we've had some children, when I do the interviews with the children to do the enrollment with them,
mm-hmm.
I've had many children tell me, you know, I'll ask them what they like or dislike about school and about friends and things, and a lot of them will disclose to me that they've been bullied. And then I will let that high school student who's mentoring them kind of know their background and say, this is what they're going through, and guide them on how can we talk to them about bullying. What we have some games that we can play. We have books. We have different resources for the kids. I've never had a high school student really bully the little, though. I would not tolerate that for a second.
Right.
And we do not tolerate bullying in our program. If we have a littles that are disagreeing or there's some mm-hmm. bullying issues, we do not tolerate it. That's something, like you said, that's very prevalent, and you know, we're there to make a positive influence on the child, to help them with self-confidence, things like that, and bullying definitely is not something that we would ever tolerate.
And of course, this is a fairly big weekend for Big Brothers Big Sisters, especially locally. There's a big dart run fundraiser that will take place on Saturday at various locations, I believe in the Hillsborough area. So, I mean, the fundraising efforts are in place.
Right. And hopefully I'm putting a team together right now to kind of work on doing some more fundraising, because, of course, that's crucial to our organization. We can't grow our programs without having the funds there available. But, yes, the Dart Run will start at the Courthouse Pub,
mm-hmm.
and I believe registration starts at noon. So if anyone wants information about it, they can go to the courthouse or call there, and they will go to six.
The Courthouse Pub, not
yes,
the courthouse.
Yes, the Courthouse Pub. Yeah, don't go to the courthouse.
Don't go
the Courthouse Pub, which is right by the courthouse,
right.
But they can get information there from Connie, the owner, and she's the one putting this on for us. Mm-hmm. She's done this for many, many years, does a great job. It's a lot of fun, and you really don't have to be a good dart player. It's more about having fun and the camaraderie of everyone and just having a good afternoon. It's a lot of fun.
And, of course, before you know it, Bowling for Kids' Sake will be right around the corner as well.
Right. We usually start talking about that in October. It's not until the spring, but
let's see, 26 days from now?
Oh, don't remind me. Wow.
I'm just playing the game at home.
I can't believe it's September. But
no.
Yes, we'll be discussing Bull for Kids' Sake. We haven't even started yet. One thing at a time, but we'll have that right around the corner before we know it.
And that kind of puts the anchor on filling your old spot in a hurry, because you mentioned Bowling for Kids' Sake event. You know, that's a pretty big deal, and you want that person already there to take the ball and run with it.
Exactly. And I, as I said before, Jamie, who's our part-time person here in Macoupin, Montgomery County, mm-hmm. she's helped me with that for several years now. So she's very familiar with it. She'll do a great job. I think she'll be able to step in and really guide the process. And I'll also help her. But
Where will it be this year?
Haven't decided yet. I haven't even booked the date of it yet. So...
That's pretty scary.
I know. So,
but you've had other things on your plate, so
Little bit, yeah. A little bit.
So it sounds like things are really going well.
Yes.
For Big Brothers, Big Sisters. You've got the dart run this weekend. Kids are back in school, so I'm sure your assistants and that will be out trying to get the kids signed up for the program to be mentors for the littles. Anyone seeking more information on the program, or if they'd like to become a mentor or sign up as a little, what's a way that they can do that?
They could call our office at 217-753-1216.
Okay, and best of luck on this weekend's endeavor. I mean, Connie has done a pretty good job on the dart run, and it has raised, we're not talking $70,000 towards the organization, but it helps out.
Oh, definitely. I think last year she raised around $700. Mm-hmm. Usually it's somewhere between $700 and $900. It's and that we buy school stuff with that, you know, our games and arts and crafts supplies, snacks. So, yeah, it's a great, great thing for us. We really appreciate all our help. And I'll be there Saturday night.
Cool.
So looking forward to it.
Always a pleasure, my friend. Congratulations on the new job.
Thank you.
Look forward to our chats in the future. And then, Mindy, as we wrap things up here, don't forget we've got a blood drive today in Carlinville at the Elks Lodge. And then if you miss that, you're back in Hillsboro next week. I got to get my guys on there to set it up for you guys at the Moose Lodge. So there's plenty of opportunities opportunities there, right?
Yes. And again, if those dates don't work for them, they can always check our website, and there's lots of different options. And we do have some raffles and giveaways and things like that going on for the month of September.
Okay.
I believe it's $500 gift card or something towards a TV or a TV, something like that. And it's for the whole month of September for donors.
I've actually won the gift card one time.
Have you won a
gift card? Yes, I did.
There you go.
We do some fun raffles. We've got to make it
fun. It's great. I was surprised.
Well, never know what happens. No. That's going to do it for the Wednesday Talk Show. Our guests this week, Mindy Melton from the Central Illinois Community Blood Center, and also Lisa Reiki from Big Brothers Big Sisters. We will see you next week. Until then, so long.